Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to On the Rise, a podcast about female college tennis players on the way up. On the Rise serves compelling stories and unique voices in women's college tennis. This is your host, Perry Scheinen. In this episode of On the Rise, I will be speaking with Sacramento State University alum Sonia Golnova, who captured 26 wins for the Hornets during her first two seasons and earned all Big Sky second team honors. Now serving as the head of digital content and marketing for Swing Vision, Sonia helps promote an app that provides shot tracking, video analysis, and line calling, all using the power of an iPhone. Welcome to another episode of On the Rise podcast. This is your host, Perry, and I'm joined today by Sonia Golnova from Sacramento State Women's Tennis. How are you?
Hi, Perry. I'm good. What about you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Of course. Well, I'm so excited to have you. And where are you currently?
So right now I'm in Russia. I actually spent over 5 years of my life in the States, but now I'm back to my home country for a little bit, and then we'll see where life takes me.
So you grew up in Russia?
Yep, that's right. I spent almost 18 years of my life here in Siberia, to be precise. And then at the age of 18, I moved to the U.S. when I got a full athletic scholarship at Sac State.
And so does it get very cold in the winters there?
Oh, yeah, it does. Really cold. Really cold. Yep.
Wow. I am not one for cold weather, so I cannot even imagine. So once you started looking at colleges, were you sure that you wanted to come to the U.S.?
Yeah. So when I was 12 or 13, I first heard about that opportunity to come to the U.S. and basically study for free and also play tennis for a college team. And I was so excited about that. I was like, wow, that's definitely something I want to do. And since then, I just set it as my goal and kept going towards it. Yeah.
And so during the recruiting process, did Sacramento State reach out to you or did you reach out to them?
So for me, it was quite an interesting process. I didn't have an agent or anything because I was the first player in my region who actually decided to go to the U.S. because tennis wasn't that popular back then. And fun fact is that when I started playing, all we had in my town was just one wooden tennis court. We didn't even have a tennis club. And I was basically the first player who made it to the U.S. and was able to secure a full scholarship. So I didn't have anyone who I could talk to ask for like any advice. So I had to do everything on my own, including the recruiting process. And obviously, when I look back, I realized that I did make some mistakes here and there because I wasn't aware of some things. For example, I didn't really know about schools in terms of academics. I didn't know about different rankings. All I knew that I needed a full scholarship. And I really wanted to go to either California or Florida because I spent my entire life in Siberia. So I guess that kind of makes sense. And so that's how I came across Sacramento State. I had a call with a coach, and he speaks Russian. So it was pretty easy for me to find a connection. And yeah, we kind of hit it off really well. And then I decided to come to Sacramento State.
Wow. And so going back to the point of you being the first one from your region to do this, when you were looking at schools and you were doing all of this, were your parents athletes? Did they know the process a little bit or were you really on your own?
I was on my own. And actually, when I published my recruiting video on YouTube, it was so funny because it became like the most popular recruiting video. I don't know how it happened. But I think even now it's still up there and it has like over 100K views. So I guess that helped me in some way to get a full scholarship, obviously together, like all together with my results, with my background. But I think the video was helpful too.
I mean, it's extremely impressive that you did this all by yourself. And so I know you're a few years out of college, but coming into the team, what was that like?
My tennis experience was a little bit challenging. As a team, we've experienced issues with the coach, a lot of legal issues such as discrimination, mental, verbal abuse, harassment, and things like that. It was tough for all of us, but I'm glad that that person is not working with the team anymore, and I'm just really happy with the girls who are at Sac State right now, and I'm sure they have the best experience possible. But for me, it was challenging, but I'm still grateful for it because it did make me stronger.
And if you would be willing to provide details, was this something that was over time over your 4 years?
So for me, that's a great question because my freshman year was awesome. But then my sophomore year, we got another coach and another assistant coach too. And that's where all the problems started arising. Because of everything what was happening, I ended up graduating in 3 years, actually. It was really tough because we, as a team, and I'm, like I said, I'm not talking about myself only. It's pretty much all the girls were affected. Unfortunately, school administration failed to recognize the issues and protect us from that. So we just literally had to fight for ourselves. I think over the course of like 2 or 3 years, almost 10 girls ended up leaving the team. They either transferred or quit completely. It was tough, but at the same time, like I said, I'm really glad that that person is not working with the team anymore. And my college experience could have been better, but at the same time, it made me who I am today.
Well, I mean, honestly, I appreciate you opening up and sharing that part of your experience. And at the same time, I can't even imagine what that was like for you and your teammates. And so did you go to the school administration right away when this started happening?
Yeah, but they were ignoring all of us because there was an NCAA investigation right when I got to Sac State. So it was about the previous coaching stuff. And then those coaches had to leave, and then that investigation was still going on. And as a result of that investigation, we were not able to play conference. I think it was like for 2 years. So I didn't get to play conference a single time because we were on probation. And yeah, it was interesting.
So if I summarize this correctly, you, the players, got punished for the behavior of your coach?
Yeah, basically. And to make it clear, what happened is once I got to Sac State, there was an ongoing NCAA investigation about the previous coaching stuff. Then we got another coach because of that. She was working with us for a year. So that was my freshman year. And then after my freshman year, we got another coach. And then things got even worse. But because of the recent NCAA investigation, the school administration didn't want to take any actions in regards to anything what was happening because they didn't want any additional drama. They were just ignoring us.
How did you maintain your mental health during this time?
When I look back, I don't even know how. It was probably the most challenging time of my life, but at the same time, I got a lot out of it, and it prepared me for real life very well. I think almost the entire team saw psychologists, sports psychologists, but most of those conversations, at least when I look back and just remember all of my conversations with psychologists, they were mostly about the coach rather than being about me. I was just like telling her what's happened, you know, in the past like 2 weeks, what else she's done to us. But it wasn't about me or about my tactics on the court or anything like that.
And so you did mention that a lot of girls left. Did you ever want to leave?
I did consider that, but I still wanted to get my degree there. And that's why I decided to graduate in 3 years, just to be done with all of that. And so that I don't have to deal with any of that drama anymore. I was still able to maintain my 4.0 GPA and get my degree, but it was tough from the mental side of things because of everything what I had to go through on the court and off the tennis court. That was the hardest part.
Well, I mean, I'm so sorry to hear. And did your teammates, the ones who stayed, did they really stick together throughout all this?
Yeah, they did. And even after I was done with school, after I graduated, I was still helping my teammates with that problem by just signing different letters that they were writing to the NCAA and other places. I felt like it was the best thing I could do then. Because I really wanted to help them. I knew that the coach was still there. And yeah.
And so how did it end? When did the coach leave?
This year. Yeah. And it took him a while to figure it out. I graduated in 2019. And so I'm really happy for the girls who are on the team right now that they got an amazing coach. And I'm sure they're going to have the best 4 years of their lives, or, you know, the seniors might be one or two for juniors, but it's better than nothing.
Induction into the International Tennis Hall of Fame is the ultimate honor in tennis. University of Florida women's tennis alum Lisa Raymond is one of the nominees for the 2022 Hall of Fame class. And guess what? You can be a part of the election process. Fan voting opens October 15th. Make sure to cast your vote for this prestigious honor by visiting the Hall of Fame website at tennisfame.com. Now, back to the show. Out of curiosity, but also for our listeners, we hear about these NCAA investigations a lot. What does that entail as a student athlete?
I was called in for multiple interviews, and they were all happening in the compliance office, and they were just asking different questions about my recruiting process. And I guess good thing for me was that I wasn't really involved in that entire investigation too much because I was just a freshman. I wasn't on the team before they started that investigation. I only went through the recruiting process. During that time, I was also obviously dealing with all the adversity in terms of my life in general. You know, I just came from a different country, and on top of that, we also had that investigation going on. So it was scary, terrifying, in some ways.
I can't even imagine. And this was going to be your home for the next 3-4 years, and to come from a different country and then be faced with this on top of everything else. I mean,
it was tough, but it also makes me realize how strong of a person I am, especially after going through all of that.
Unfortunately, this has not yet stopped being a problem in women's sports as a whole. And we see story after story come up in the news, obviously about investigations that were going on over a number of years, and other brave women that spoke up to defend themselves and their sport, and still it didn't work. And so I'm wondering what could have changed or should have changed, not from your end, but perhaps from the administration.
So it's really hard to say what exactly needs to be changed, but what I can say for sure is that the system definitely has a lot of flaws and it needs to be fixed. Obviously, it doesn't happen overnight, but I hope that if players speak up and talk about their issues, then it might help the entire system in general.
Absolutely. Was tennis still an outlet for you, or did it no longer become that?
It was during my sophomore year when I realized that tennis wasn't bringing any joy to me, simply because it was hard to go to practices because of everything what was happening, because of, like I said, that constant verbal, mental abuse, defamation, bullying, body shaming. I can list a lot of those things. It was challenging to even come to practices. But at the same time, I also knew that tennis was a huge part of who I am. So it was quite a dilemma, because I loved competing, and I always had one of the best records on the team. And I think if I had played my last season, I could have been easily number one. But unfortunately, I didn't get to play because of the entire situation. And I'm proud of the progress I made. And in doubles, I also played 3-2 and then played number one. So I did have a really good progress. But then at one point, it became really hard to play tennis. And in fact, after I graduated, I didn't even want to pick up a racket anymore. I was so burned out. I didn't even want to hear about tennis. And I had to take some time off from it. But then I realized that tennis was a huge part of my identity. And right around that time, I realized that I wanted to still be connected to the tennis industry and do something in that area. Although I didn't want to go into coaching for too long. I was always interested in business and the startup industry. And one day I was just doing my research on different sports technologies, specifically in tennis. And I came across Swing Vision. Swing Vision is the AI tennis app. And basically it allows you to track your shots, get automated highlights, video analysis, and line calling and things like that. Back then, it was just mainly shot tracking and video analysis. At first, I didn't even believe that Swing Vision can actually do all those things that it claimed to do. Then I decided to just try it out for myself. I went on tennis court to play and I tracked my match, and then I saw that, oh my God, it actually works. I was amazed by that technology. But at the same time, I was also really surprised that I haven't heard of it before, because I'm always trying to stay on top of trends, you know. And I decided to reach out to them. And I reached out to CEO of Swing Vision, and I said, like, hey, I'm a former D1 tennis player, and I also have some experience in digital marketing. I see that you guys are not doing any marketing at this point, but you have such an amazing product, and more people need to know about it. And then we scheduled a call, and I explained how I can help them with marketing. And that's how I joined Swing Vision.
I had no idea. You are unbelievable. You called and created this position for yourself.
Pretty much, yeah. I just came across this company accidentally. And then I was truly amazed by that technology, and because I've never seen anything like that before. And like I said, I didn't even believe it could work. So I decided to reach out and offer my help.
So for our listeners, could you explain what is the difference between Swing Vision and perhaps a more common name of PlaySight, which is used by some college teams?
The best thing about it is that all you need to use Swing Vision it's just your iPhone or iPad and a piece of equipment to mount your device on the fence or just place it behind you on the court. And Swing Vision is actually the only product on the market that can be easily used by any player. And if we compare it to PlaySight is a really expensive technology. Not everyone can afford it. I'm not even talking about tennis players. Even if we look at the colleges, it's expensive for a lot of them. Swing Vision is very affordable for players, and it can literally be used by anyone, and it doesn't require any multi-camera systems. It's just one iPhone or iPad.
That's amazing. And how could it have helped you when you were in college?
When I came across Swing Vision, that was my first thought. Oh my God, I wish I had that technology back when I was playing, because it could have been so useful for me as a tennis player and as an international student. First of all, as a tennis player, it's pretty obvious. You know, it gives you so many valuable things such as shot stats, fully automated video analysis, line calling, and you can improve your game by recording your match and then analyzing your stats, watching your highlights. But also, as an international student, I had my entire family back home in Russia. So I always thought that it would have been so cool if they could watch my matches. That's something Swing Vision can do. We are currently working on live streaming, but you can easily watch already recorded matches. I'm really happy for all those college players, and not only college players, just any tennis player who's got access to that amazing technology. My name is Sonia Golnova, and I'm on the rise.
And this is Perry, your host, and this has been another episode of On the Rise podcast.
This has been an episode of On the Rise, a Tennis Channel podcast in partnership with Behind the Racket and produced by Molly Scholson. Join us next time to continue our conversation about women's college tennis. This is Perry Scheinen, On the Rise.